We're learning this week's parsha, Chaye Sarah, the famous parsha that talks about Shidduchim. The parsha of Shidduchim, Chaye Sarah.
Oh boy.
Oh boy, you said it. Okay, so let's first discuss Vayihyu Chaye Sarah. Okay, not every word I'm going to tell you is a complete idea, just some things to think about. First, Rashi says, why do we repeat the word shana three times? Lekach nichtav shana b'chol klal u'klal at each section. Lemelcha shekol echad nidrash le'atzma, each one is nidrash, drush, is darshan independently. Bas kuf kibas chaf lechait. Now, there are a lot of first thing Rashi says is that when Sarah was 100 years old, she was equal to a 20-year-old with regard to chait. What does that mean? Rashi explains, ma bas chof lo chota, a human being at the age of 20, or as he approaches 20, is without sin. Why? Shaharei eina bas oinshin. A woman at that age, and a man as well, but here it's written Lashon Nekeva, is not responsible, is not accountable, was not a person who can be punished for their sins. So to Af Bas Kuf B'loy Chayt, when she was 100 years old, she was without sin. Now, by the way, what about the other 27 years? Only when she was 100 years old, she was without sin. And then what about she died when she was 127 years old? So that's not a kash, because it says in Pirkei Avos that when a person is 100 years old, ki'ilu meis. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos goes through all the different ages of a person, all the different stages of a person's life. When you're 20, 30, 40, 70 is a seva, 80 is gevura, 90 is sicha, and 100, ki'ilu meis. So meis, what does it mean meis? Does it mean a person died? We see today, Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation, Baruch Hashem, we live in a very, very long. The person, they're alive and kicking. It means you mace from the Yetzirah. You reach that level of life, you mace the Libi Cholal, David said about himself. Libi Cholal Bekirbi. I have slaughtered the Yetzirah. There's no sin. If you get to the age 100 years old and you have not sinned even once, you're home free. You're home for, so therefore Rashi does not have to discuss the other 27 years. Once she reached the age of 100 and she was Naki Michait, she's home free. It's all downhill. She can enjoy life serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the full service without the Yetzirah of doing an Avera, and you get the full credit because you work your whole life to reach that Madrega, to reach the Madrega where there is no Chait. Okay, that's not the main word I want to tell you. What I want to tell you over here is we have sisters over here that when she's 100 years old, she's 20 years old, a person who's 20 years old is not, and has no Chait because they're not a Bas or a Bar Oinshin. Question.
Do you have to say 20 when she approaches 20?
Right, it means the day before 20.
20 already.
Right, it means when you approach, that's what it simply means. It means as you approach 20. You can ask that, make a dig on that as well. Okay, let's focus on something different. Question. Why is that true? If a person who's 18 years old, he can do every avera in the book. The Yetzirah is very, very strong. A person 18 years old can be chayef for terrible, terrible averos. Commit terrible averos. So he's mole chait. It's just that he's not accountable. He's not a bar oinshin. So why does Rashi say bas kuf ki bas chof lechait? Ma bas chof loy chota. A person who is 20 years old has not sinned. What do you mean you have not sinned? You've done many sins.
That's a good question.
Yeah. How many sins you've done by that time? It's just that I'm not going to be punished. But Rashi says, no, you have not sinned. Why? Shaharei eina bas oinshin. You're not susceptible. You're not. It's not possible for you to be punished. So therefore, you have not sinned. That's not true. I have sinned. It's just that I am not going to be punished. So how can Rashi say these words?
It's a Meridic thing you say. You're saying that when you do a avera, it gets into your system.
Yeah.
But when you're under 20, it doesn't get into your system.
But it does. Nice in the Chol Yom.
No, Rashi says it doesn't get into your system. No,
so what? That's the question. What does Rashi mean then? That's the question. So you're really touching upon what I want to try to bring out. It's, the question is better than any answer you can give.
You are a Bas Aichin. You're punished.
Minashemayim?
So, but a 13-year-old boy gets
No, doesn't get mad. That's fine. But that just adds. That just adds to the question. So what then does Rashi mean? Shaharei ain't a bas oinshin. It means minas shemayim. You're not a chayim minas shemayim. But the other you're chayim. Someone who's a bar mitzvah doesn't have with the edim hasra. He is punished. Bezin will punish a person when he's 13 years old if there's witnesses and hasra. So when it means the bar oinshin, it means minas shemayim. Menashemayim, you can get away. There's no one watching. So Bez is not going to intercede. So the question now is: in Shemayim, will they punish the person? No, they're not, because in Shemayim they do not deal with people to punish them until they're 20 years old.
But you also see, God forbid, naturally a boy 18.
Okay, we don't know this. Sadik Viraloi, obviously, we don't know these things. Let's not go there. You're right.
People are punished.
We don't know. But okay, that's the Einachanami, absolutely. But we don't know how these things work. But I'm just trying to bring out a thought. I want to just bring out an observation. What does Rashi mean? How can Rashi say such words? Shaharei Eina that Ma Baschof Loi Chotah. Shaharei ein bas oinshin. That is not correct, it would seem. That a person under 20 years old has done sins, he's molechet, it's just that, there is no punishment. So I wish one, I think the idea, just I don't have a full answer, but I think the idea here is trying to teach us something. In life, there has to be accountability. If there is no accountability, what you do doesn't count. A person does an avera, he does a terrible avera. Rashi is saying, if the person is not going to be punished, he does what he does, and he's not going to be, he knows in his mind, I'm going to do this Avera, and I'm not going to be punished. Because the person is not a Bar Oinshin until he's 20 years old. So what you have done, it's a terrible thing. Let's not make any mistake. You've done a terrible thing. There are consequences. But that is not what the Torah calls a chet. A person is put into this world, it's a binary world. Mitzvah and Avera. Black and white. Okay, it's black and white to some degree. You do a mitzvah, you do a chet, and do a mitzvah. Obviously, it's not that way, but I'm saying, in order to register as a chet, there has to be accountability. If there is no accountability, your actions have no meaning. L'may nafkemina, we don't want to get into chet. If this is true when it comes to a chet, al achas kama v'kama when it comes to a mitzvah. When it comes to a mitzvah, if you're not accountable for what you've done, then you don't get credit. What am I trying to say is that there are different ways to live your life. There are people who live their life with no sense of accountability. Life is just hefker. You just get through the day. There are no goals. There are no benchmarks. You just hefker. I'm not responsible to make parnasa. I'm not responsible to worry about my children. I'm not responsible to know if I to test myself if I'm accomplishing in ruchnius, if I'm doing averos. You just breeze through, you cruise through life. Ah, and then you'll say, I'm a good guy. Look what I did. I look back, I did this mitzvah, that mitzvah, that mitzvah, that mitzvah. That is not a life. Life that has meaning has to have accountability. A person has to set up for himself in his own life benchmarks, test himself to acknowledge, where am I holding? Rashi here is saying a very powerful yesod. If there is no punishment, that's right, there is no chet. Because in order, what is chet? Chet means you're going to be punished. If you're going to be punished, you're not going to do it, or you're going to do it and accept the consequences. Part of doing something in this world against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu means you're accountable. And the hepech is two sides of the coin. When it comes to a mitzvah, there also is a degree of accountability. If you don't have that accountability, then you don't exist. Then what you have done does not carry with it anyway. Okay, that's a thought. I see this did not go very well, so let's go to the next vart. Next try. Ma bas chof loichota shreina bas oinch. Next. Af bas chof loichota. Now, ubas chof kibas zayin liyoifi. A woman, when she was 20 years old, She was like 7 years old for beauty. So everyone asked the question, the obvious question, what is more beautiful, a woman who's 20 years old or a woman who's 7 years old? Everyone asked the question, of course, a woman who's 20 years old is more beautiful than the world who's 7 years old. So what then does Rashi mean in the Bazayim Liyoyfi? What can the pasta mean? So someone would say, no, a child 7 years old has a certain innocence. Indeed, there really is a certain, there's no sign of aging. Once a person becomes 20 years old, it's true the person is more mature, there's a certain sophistication, but already a person sees that life is on the way down. Aging, a person really can sense a degree of aging when a person is 7 years old, there's absolutely no sign of aging, of getting old. It's only on the up. That's called yoifi. Okay, that's one possible answer, but I want to say a different answer. In this week's parasha, the word yoifi is used in another context. And that is Eliezer. After Eliezer comes and he finalizes the deal, he seals the deal on the shidduch with Yitzhak and Rivka. So he repeats when he comes there to Besuel, Lavan, and Rivka. He tells them the entire story. The Torah repeats the story almost word for word. There are a lot of differences, of course. And Rashi there says, Yofe sichoson shel avde avois yoiser mitoyrosan shel banam. Look what's happening over here. There are so many gufei Torah, many basic principles of the Torah that we only know b'derech remes. Only minor hints. Dafyomi, remes le'edim zoymim min ha-Torah. A remes, a whole din of edim zoymim is only b'derech remes. Such a major principle in Shas, you only know b'derech remes. And here when it comes to the story of the Shlich of Eliezer, Navra Eliezer, Torah goes through, there are 67 psukim. Can you imagine? 67 psukim detailing every single detail about the Shlich. What's going on? Yofes sichoson shal avdei avos yoyse mitoyrosan shal banim. And what does that mean exactly? Now first, what does it say over here? It says the word yofe, beautiful. It's something that is beautiful. Why did Rashi choose the word yofe? Okay, that I don't have an answer for, but that's the word that Rashi chose. And then he says the sichosan. But why did Rashi choose the word sicha? So we have to go now on a treasure hunt. Where do we have the word sicha in this week's parasha? Vayetze Yitzchak lo suach basode. And what does it mean there? Lo suach basode in Rashi? It means tefillah. He was misaking tefillas mincha. He was losing mispalil. Chazal say lzos yispalil kol chosid le'es mitzol. The pechos should be mispalil for a shidduch. Shidduchim is totally in the koich of tefillah. Siach. Koich of tefillah. So a little bit of the word lo suach is koich of tefillah. So now let's look where the words of Rashi are. Yofes sichoson shel avdei avos. Rashi is telling us the tefillah of Eliezer is more precious before HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Torah. In Yados, there are two major pillars of Yados. There is Torah and tefillah. Your learning is only as good as your davening. And your davening is only as good as your learning. There's a koyach of tefillah and there's a koyach of Koyach of Talmud, Torah, learning Torah. Eliezer, without Torah, is not telling us a story. The beauty of Eliezer is his prayer to Hashem. Look, let's analyze just for a few moments, just show my details about his prayer. He comes to the well, and he's Mispalo. He says in the Zuchus of Avraham, let me find the page. Avram Zokain, okay, here we go. Vayom, then Eliezer, he arrives at his destination. Vayavrech hagemalim yichutz lo'ir el ber hamoyim le'es erev le'es seis hashavos vayoymar. Here begins the daven. Hashem, Elokei Adoni Avraham. It sounds like Shmona Esrei. He's being misspelled. Baruch ato Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu Elokei Avraham. Hakreino, I beg of you. No, ain no elo loshon bakosha lefonai hayoim vaase chesed. These are all expressions of tefillah. Im Adoni Avraham. Then he goes for the Hinei Anochi. Let's jump down to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yudalit. Let me find a girl. The Eshtev, the Amra Shesef. A woman says to me, "Drink." The Gam Gimalecha Ashke Oiso Hoychachta. This woman you have selected, it is proven, la'avdecha li'yitzchak, and then we have two very powerful words. Uvo eda. What do those two words mean? And through it, I will know. That is the wrong, incorrect translation according to Rashi. Uvo eda, Rashi says, l'shoin tichina. This is an expression of prayer. Please, Hashem, I'm presenting a siman. Let this siman be the siman that will be used to reveal the proper zivuk for Rivka. L'shoin techina, choida liba. Please make it known to me who the zivuk will be through this siman. This ends one of the very, very basic questions: is how was he allowed to do this? There are four people that would ask shaloi kahoygen. What kind of thing? You're making simanim based upon this simanim. That's going to be the shidduch. What is this, a lottery? This is a joke. You just whoever pull out of the hat. That's the shidduch. No, Rashi answers the question. This wasn't just tam a simon. He was mispalel. He didn't just make a simon. He injected into the simon the koyach of tefillah. I'm coming here to the well. I'm being mispalel to you. Hashem, let's use this device, this technique as a means where you will participate and you will reveal to me who will be the zivuk for Yitzchak. Everything about Eliezer is the koyach of tefillah. The tefillah in this week's parasha is defined with the word siach. Vayetze Yitzchak losuach basode. And then when he repeats, he tells them over, he comes too. He finally meets Rivka, and then he gives a bracha. He says, Moidim, Baruch, Avram, Baruch. When he finds the girl, what were the words of the pasuk? Vayomer Baruch Hashem Elokei Adonai Avram. Moidim Drabanan. He's finishing up the Shemona Esrei. Asher lo yozav chastoi v'anitoi me'im Adoni anochi baderech anachani Hashem be'is achi Adoni. He says all these beautiful words, and then she comes, and they bring him in. Boy, Baruch Hashem, Yudavim Shanai Shemona Esrei. The one who, Bo, Baruch Hashem, enter the one who, which simply means who is blessed, but also means the one who knows how to bless Hashem. They acknowledge, the people acknowledge, Besua, Lavan, Rivka, they acknowledge that you're an excellent Baal Tefillah. Bo, come, Baruch Hashem, the one who knows how to bless Hashem, the one who knows how to daven. We saw what you did, we saw you stood outside of your mispalel, and Hashem answered your Tefillah. You know how to pray to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He comes in, and he repeats the Tefillah, Achazaras Hashatz. It's Mamash Achazaris Hashatz over here. He goes to the Gantz Zach all over again. Not only for himself, he tells him exactly what happened. And he tells him, my tefillah. He says, in the Avavah Malyon, V'oymar Hashem Elokei Adonai Avraham, Im Yesh Chonno Matzlich Darki. Nachman repeats the whole tefillah. Koyecha tefillah. Eliezer is all about tefillah. Chazal are telling us, there are two different pillars in Yadus. There is tefillah, and there is Torah. It's a very powerful statement. Yofes sichoson shel avdei avos yosem mitoyrosen shel banim. Tefillah is more precious before HaKadosh Baruch Hu than Torah. Isn't that what it says? How beautiful it is, the siach, not the story, not the idle chatter, not the conversation, but yofes, how beautiful it is, the prayer of Eliezer before the Ribbon Shel Olam, more than Daf Yomi, more than Remez Le'edim Zaymim Min HaTorah. Because when it comes to the Koyach of Tefillah, look what's going on here. Hashem repeats the story twice, tells us every single detail, play by play, to show the Koyach of Tefillah, not just from the Avos, even from the Avdei Avos. Much more so than the Gufei Torah. That's the message. Don't underestimate the Koyach of Tefillah, especially when you're dealing with the story of Shidduchim. Shidduchim is lezos yispalel kol chosin le'es mitzoy. What is le'es mitzoy? Matzah isha matzah toif. Chazal say when it comes to the shidduchim, it's all about the koyach of tefillah. And here you see the yafas yichasan, the beautiful tefillah. Now, with that hakdam in mind, let's go ma'inyin. Let's now have a much greater appreciation of what happened in Parashas Lech Lecha. Parashas Lech Lecha. Vayovoy hapolit. Oig melech haboshim comes to Avraham. At that point, he was still called Avram. And he says, Avram, guess who was captured? Guess who has been taken prisoner? Prisoner of war. POW. Lot. Lot was the first POW. Prisoner of war. Vayovei hapolit. And what does Avram do? Vayorok es chanichov yilidei beso. How many people? Shmoina asar. Ushloish meos. 318. Who is the 318? Eliezer. Chazal say it was only Eliezer. Eliezer is Bigamatria 318. What is 318 Bigamatria? Siach. What is Siach? Tefillah. Yofeh Sichoson. How is Eliezer described? He's not described here with the word Eliezer, the name Eliezer. He's not described as a gibor. He's called a yeled. Yilidei beso, a yeled. Why did Avraham take Eliezer with him? Eliezer has the koyach of tefillah. Vayashkeim Avraham babayker. Avraham appreciated what it means tefillah. Avraham was the one that was mechadesh tefillah. Eliezer was a servant, was his yeled. He taught Eliezer how to daven. Eliezer was the yeled, a child, 318, bigamatria Eliezer, and it's also bigamatria siach. What is Eliezer doing when he goes to find the shirch for Rivka? He's been mispalel. Hashem Elokei Adonai Avram, hakrei no lefonai. And the other pasuk of Voida, through this, Eliezer is the koyach of tefillah. There is no greater koyach of tefillah than the koyach of tefillah of a child. This is a chazal. Chazal are pure, tohorim. They have a koyach of tefillah. And that is why Eliezer is not just called Eliezer, it's called in Parashas Lech Lecha. What is he called? By Yorek es Chanichov. Chanichov means the one that he was mechanich. The one that he taught, that he raised, the yeled, yilidei beso. You mechanech a child to daven the Shemone Esrei, and he davens Takadosh Baruch Hu. Do you know how powerful that is? You can win World War III. You can conquer all nine kings. Five kings, the four kings conquered the five kings. So now it's all one big mishmash, and now he was able to go conquer the four kings. They had all the weapons. Can you imagine? They had the whole arsenal of the five kings. So they have over there. He was able to knock out the power of nine nations, the combined power of nine nations, with one person, Eliezer. Why Eliezer? The koyach of tefillah. The koyach of tefillah that he was mechanically put into Eliezer, the Yilud Beisah. What about Avraham's tefillah? Sometimes a child's tefillah is better than your own tefillah. When you're an adult, you have a lot of questions. You have a lot of nisyonos in life. Why this? Why that? Sadik v'rali, Rosh Tovlo. It takes away. It takes a toll upon you. It challenges you. The koyach of tefillah is not as sincere. But a yeled is pure. Is pure. And the koyach of tefillah of a child is unique. This is yoifi. The true yoifi in the world is the koyach of tefillah of a child. When are you mechanich a child? Famous Gemara Masechet Baba Basra Daf Chof Aleph Amid Aleph Amid Beis with the story with I forgot to write the story. I say it's famous. I don't even remember what it says with the person who made yeshiva. It's Hirsch Fried. You know, he's the one who wrote an article on this. Okay, the Gemara there says the famous, what is the age? Kvar Shis, Kvar Sheva. The time when you bring a child into Chinuch, Gemara Babash, is at the age of 6 or 7. Depending upon the maturity of the child, Kvar Shis, Kvar Sheva, Gamla. Gamla, Chananya ben Gamla, was that his name? Chananya? Gamliel ben Gamla?
Yeshua ben Gamla.
So he instituted, he was the first yeshiva. The first yeshiva was not Yeshiva University. The first yeshiva in America was Yeshua ben Gamla's yeshiva. Okay, it wasn't Eitz Chaim. It was Yeshua ben Gamla. He was the one who made the first yeshiva in America. As a matter of fact, it says in the Gemara, no room to wiggle. And what were the age of the students? He says, Shis Kvar Sheva, 6 or 7, not later than 7. Now let's go back to Rashi. Now all of this Hagdama, this whole Chagaya, this whole treasure hunt we've gone. Yafed that when Sarah was 20 years old, she was beautiful like when she was 7 years old. The ultimate beauty in a person is at the age of 7 years old. Is Rashi describing physical beauty, Okay, ayin parim l'torah, maybe. But Rashi, perhaps on a much deeper level, if he says beauty, and in this week's parasha we find the word beauty is yofeh sichosan shal avi avos, and a siach is tefillah. Eliezer is the koyach of tefillah, and Eliezer is called the yeled in parashas lech lecha, the chan vayorok es chanichof yilidei beiso, the child that he was mechanich. The yelet and chinuch begins at the age of 7. Rashi is telling us that the koyach of Sarah, or her tefillah through her entire life, was as pure, pristine as the tefillah of a 7-year-old child. The time when he enters into the world of tefillah, when he's presented with the makir des ribbono shel olam, and he's mispalel to Hashem, and there are no sekes, there are no doubts. There are no challenges. The koyach tefillah is as pure as it gets. It's yofe. It's beautiful. And in fact, we say this every single day in davening. After we finish, Ani Hashem Elokim Asher Hotzeis Yeschem Yeretz Yoschem Elokim Ani Hashem Elokeichem Ani Hashem Elokeich to be makir that is Ani is Ribayin Nishlem Uz Hashem Elokeichem. This is Emes V'Yatziv V'Nochon V'Kayim V'Yosher V'Nemon V'Yohu V'Chov V'Nechma V'Noam V'Nora V'Adir U'Mesukun U'Mekubu V'Tov. Number 15, V'Yofeh V'Yofeh Hadavar Hazeh Oleinu. What is Yofeh? What is this? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. It is the climax. The climax of all the 15 words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Ribayin Shel Olam. Everything that you need, I can provide for. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And there are 15 words that express this. Emes. It's Emes. It's Yatziv. Nochen, V'Kayim, V'Chulu, V'Chulu. And the Shpitz, the climax is, it's Yofeh. It is something that is beautiful. Who has the koyach to be makir? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. An adult? No, an adult doesn't have that koyach, because an adult has too many sfeikas. An adult is pulled in many different ways. An adult has nisyonos, the eschet. A child, 7 years old, kvar shis, kvar sheva. When you're 6, but not later than 7 years old, is when you are enter into the yeshiva of Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. And that's when you're called chanichov yilidei beiso. You have the number 318, the number of siach. The siach vayetze yitzok lo suach basode, the koyach of tefillah. The pasuk is teaching us about Sarah. Sarah, when she was 100, noki michet. When she was like 20, she her koyach of tefillah of 20, which means that why dafka 20, but whatever it is, but 20 going back to 7, which carries us through the entire life. 7 is the koyach of tefillah of Sarah was the best it can possibly be. Pure, pristine. That's the yofi, the beauty of Sarah, what Rashi alludes to, al derech derush. Okay, let's now go to another idea. When Avram, he came to make the shidduch, Avram Avinu, he said to Eliezer, before you go out on this mission, I want you to make a shavuah. I want you to take an oath. What is the oath? You have to hold on to an object of mitzvah. So Avraham Avinu, I'm sure he wore tefillin. Rashi alludes to this. A sefer Torah. They could have gone to Aron HaKodesh, hold the sefer Torah, take the tefillin. He could have taken to a Shabbos. Maybe they would take the strimer, right? They would do something. But what was the object of mitzvah? So Rashi says the bris milah. Why the bris milah? The ashpiacha. Let me tachas yirechi. Rashi, what does it mean, my thigh? Yerechi, you're going to hold on to the bris milah. Here are the key words. And that's why unitala. He selected bris milah for 3 reasons. It's the first mitzvah that I received from Hashem, mitzvah v'yoseh. Number 2, I had pain. I was an adult. It was tsar. And number 3, it's chav 13 times. There are 13 brisos. So I want to say a drush. Is that that's really what marriage is. Marriage is the first mitzvah in the Torah. Vayoymer lohen pirul urevu. In the Sefer HaChinuch, Tayag mitzvah, the first mitzvah is marriage. The purpose of marriage is Al Kein Yazav Ish as Ovav Yasim Vedavak Mishavahayu Lubosarecha to have child. Lubosarecha is a child. What is a child all about? Tsar Gidul Banim. Chazal only say the only thing that is Tsar in this world is raising children. There's no other Tsar. Tsar Gidul Banim. Ubolo Al Yidei Tsar. There's nothing in this world that is more chav, that's self-explanatory than a family, having a family, having a wife and children. This is dov that's chav ad moed. So Mel, when Avraham Avinu, when he selected Bris Mila, he selected because Bris Mila is trying to impress upon Eliezer. Bris Mila captures what a shidduch is all about. Number one, it's the first mitzvah in the Torah, and the first mitzvah is very significant. The world was created l'sheves, not l'tohu for desolation. The world was created to be populated. It's the first mitzvah. It's something which is ba al yidei tsar, and you can interpret it as you wish. Either the goal is to have children, which is involves tsar gidl banim to some degree in every person. That's a mitzis in this world, or finding the shidduch. Finding the shidduch is a very very painful process. And if there's no pain, no gain, the results of having a family and raising a dar yesharim, the holich, the derech, Yisrael Saba, there is absolutely no comparison. There is nothing in this world that is more chavav than this. The nail of the bris mila captures the essence of what the mission is. Eliezer, when you go out on the mission, remember the shvuah. Everything comes back to the shirish, the shavuah of the mila captures what the purpose of the mission is. Okay, next idea. Why did Avraham send Eliezer? Why didn't Avraham himself call up all the shatchanim and sign up online to saw you at Sinai? Why didn't he get his hands dirty in the world of shidduchim? Why did he have to go send Eliezer? I am removing myself from this parsha. I'm appointing an agent, Eliezer. He will find the proper shem. Why did Avraham? The big decision has to be made over here. Why was he not personally involved? So everyone says the same answer. I'm not telling you a chiddush. I just want to make a ha'ara. Everyone says the same answer. It's because when it comes to shidduchim, you know ge'er b'davar. You don't know what's good for you. It's davar pashad ma'ay. You know ge'er b'davar, and therefore it's always better to a certain degree. Obviously, everything needs balance. To a certain degree, to let someone who is objective to tell you what is good for you. You can find a person whom you trust, who you trust, and to leave it a little bit in the hands of a bunch shloilam. That would usually, not all the time, but usually is a much safer approach to the world of shidduchim. That's an obvious thing which everyone, that's the aleph beis of what everyone explains why Avraham did not get involved. He sent Eliezer. Even Avraham Avinu, he felt that I have negius. I have negius. I need someone who's objective to make the decision for me. And I'll be mustalel, a shvua, Ribbono Nishlom is my partner, I have emunah, v'chulu, things will work out much better in this way. Okay, that's pashut. I just want to add, ha'ara, is that Avraham, he spoke from experience. Now, what do I mean experience? He spoke about his own marriage. Parashas Chayisar is not the first time one of the others got married. Who else got married? Avraham got married. What do we know about his shidduch?
Zero.
No, not zero. I wouldn't say zero. I used to think zero, but we know a little bit. At the very end, it's very interesting, the area in the Parashas Noach, we learn about the marriage of Avraham Avinu. Hey, what does it say there in the Parasha? End of Parashas Noach. Let me find the pasuk. Vayikach Avram v'nochor lohem noshim. Mazel tov. Avraham got married. She got married. Who did he marry? Shame Eishes Avram Soroy. B'shame Eishes Nochor Milka. He got married. The two brothers got married. They both married their nieces. They married Harad. Who are these? Who is Nochor? Who is Milka? Milka is Bas Haran. Who is Haran? Haran happened to be not just the father of Milka, Avi Milka, but also Vavi Yiska, the father of Yiska. Who is Yiska? Yiska is also the same as Soroy. It's a very funny pasuk. The pasuk is constructed in this very bizarre way. But when everything is said and done, it tells us that Avram got married. And the name of his wife was Soroy. But what's very interesting is Avraham didn't get married by himself. It was a group wedding.
A double wedding.
It was a double wedding. That's what it says. It was like people, you know, people in school, you know, my friends are getting married, I'm also going to get married. Sometimes it happens like that. People, you know, are you interested in getting married? I don't know. But my friends are getting married, so I also jump on the bandwagon. I'm also going to get married. That's what it doesn't say that Abraham was chalishing for a shidduch. He was chalishing away. We don't really know the story. It doesn't say that he was going out of his mind, pulling his hair out of his head, finally dating and this and that. He Dafka wanted this girl. He was crying over this girl and that. It doesn't say all that. You know, they were in college together. And my friend got married. They went to a Shabbaton. And Vayikach Avram v'Nachar Lohem Nash, and they got married together. My best friend got married. I got married. He picked a girl. I picked a girl. We picked up girls at a Shabbaton, at a singles event. V'Zehu. What was the name of Avram's wife? Saroy. And Nachar is Milka.
Where is the passage they got married at the same time?
Vayikach.
Oh,
you're right. I don't know. I'm just making an observation. It's something to take into consideration that the Torah groups the two together. Why does the Torah group them together? Why doesn't it say Avram, Choshev, he married Sarah, the Imohos, the Klal Yisrael? No, the whole marriage of Avram is described as a group wedding, a double wedding. Is Haloi Davar? Is this not something that is very interesting? Now, obviously the Torah is telling us to analyze Avram's wife relative to someone else's wife. It's teaching us about Avraham's Shidduch relative to someone else. And what is the difference? Avraham's wife's name was Saroy. Saroy means my princess. Nachar, his brother, his wife was named Milka. What is Milka? Milka is like Malka, queen. Mem Lamed Chaf, Melech. Melech, king. A king. So the feminine, it's not Malka, but it's Milka. But the letters are obvious. A queen. A queen. A queen. Avraham didn't get a queen. He got a princess. So who got the better shidduch? Who got the better shidduch? Who got the prize? Who got the trophy wife? Who got the prize? Nachar. Nachar got Milka. He got the queen, and Avram only got the princess. So Avraham, you know, okay, so it was the best I can do. You know, getting married is like tefillin. The same way you don't wake up in the morning, you don't put on tefillin. You can't wake up in the morning without a wife. So you go to the store, whatever they have. You take whatever's available, right? You don't have to be so picky. You just take whatever's available. It's a mitzvah. They go, they show you three pairs of tefillin. You're not going to wear tefillin today. So you take whatever they have in the store. So I'll take this pair of tefillin. You get on with your life, right? That's what it says here. He married Saroy. This is the best that was available, the best he can do. And he married the prince. And she married. And she married Milka. But what happened at the end? What was the end? The pasuk goes on and tells us the bizarre pasuk. The end is v'shem eshnach Milka. Who is Milka? Milka was Bas Haran. Haran was Avi Milka. Nothing changed. Shitaka was a Milka her whole life. She was a queen her life. The Avi Yiska. She was also the father of Yiska. Who's Yiska?
Sarah.
So why are we changing her name? Oh, because there's another dimension to Sarah. So Rashi says two perushim. The first perush means everyone was, she was gorgeous. Everyone looked at her. I call him the staklim biyayfiyam. And then Rashi says another pshat. He says Yiska is lashon hu lashon nisichus. What does nisichus mean? It's a very, it's not our vocabulary. Nisichus kimo sara, like sara, which is her name, sara lashon sirara, authority. Authority. So what does Rashi mean? The Queen of England today, does she have any authority?
No.
Zero. No authority whatsoever. Parliament, Prime Minister, they have all the power. She's just a figurehead. Very good. She has influence. No one's denying the fact. She has all the glory. She has glory. She represents things. She has certain morals. You're right. There's no one's taking away from the fact that she is the Queen. And the country, the Poles are, they love it. They love it. They couldn't live without Prince William and Kate. They couldn't live without this. This is the bread, this is the blood of life. They need this. But does she halacha lemaisa? Does she have authority? Does she have sirara? Nothing. Zero zilch. She is the malka. She is the queen. She is the queen without sirara. What is more important in life? To be the title or to have svara? Svara, power is power. There's no comparison. Life is about power. Power, control, influence. The real power is svara. So look at this. Avram, he married who he thought he was Sarai. No, it's the best I can do. I can't do better than this. I missed out. The real shidduch everyone was talking about was Milka. She's the queen. That was the girl everyone wanted. I couldn't get her, so I took the second best. But the pasuk goes on to say, when the day was over, by the time Sarah died in Parashas Chayei Sarah, who was Sarah? Sarah wasn't Sarah. She wasn't Sarah. Wasn't a princess. She was Sarara. She had authority. When she spoke, people listened. Milka was the same Milka. She was a queen without Sarara. So Avram, he says to himself, look at that, look at my own shidduch. You don't know what you're getting. You really, really don't know. It's a shidduch is a sealed envelope. You think you know nothing. You know absolutely nothing. After everything is said and done, you know nothing. Avraham had personal, real life experience. He started off by marrying who he thought was Sarai, a princess, relative to the queen. But when the day was over, she remained Milka. But my wife wasn't just a princess. My wife was Nesichos, Yiska, Lashon Sarara, Sarah, Sarah. My wife was infinitely greater than Milka. You don't know what you're getting in Shidduchim. Memela, when it came now for the Shidduch of his son Yitzchak, stand down. Leave it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He knows what he is doing. You don't really know. You don't know the end game. You don't know how things will play out. This is personal experience from the Shidduch of Avraham Avinu. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, let's go away from Shidduch in a few moments. Let's talk about something else. We'll come back to Shidduch in a few moments. But let's focus on...
Eliezer was his poem.
What? Yeah, right. Was his poem. Right, right.
Poel.
Poel, yeah. He was the word. He was the... Right, he was the one. He was the shatun. He was the one that did it. Now, I want to talk about an idea. It's not really related to Shidduch, but I think there's an interesting idea to be discussed here in this week's talk. Let me look at Hagdama. Let's talk about the Holocaust. How do we refer to the Holocaust today in modern times? Well, we use the word Holocaust, English Holocaust. We once had a discussion, when did that term begin to be used? I think it was a little bit later. It was more in the 50s when the word Holocaust became the buzzword, the keyword. I don't remember. But then how does it refer to it in Hebrew? So Shoah is the common word that is used throughout the world to refer to the Holocaust, what we call the Holocaust. And the Gedolei Yisrael, some of them are in favor, some of them are very... Because it was a hard thing to define in one word. Some of them were in favor of that word, and some of Schwab calls the Holocaust, some call Churban Europe. Is it only Churban Europe? It wasn't only Churban Europe, it was a Churban to the world. Okay, it was a Churban for America. It was a Churban for American Jewry as well. It wasn't just a Churban for Europe, it was a Churban for the whole world. That so therefore it's Churban Europe, there's no perfect term to describe such a catastrophe. It doesn't exist. Some Rav Schwab, he defines it with the way the Shaya defines what's going to happen, Mechemes Goy Gumagog, Dei Ra'on. That's how he refers to the Holocaust, Rav Shimon Schwab, Dei Ra'on. It's the last pasuk in Yeshaya, we're describing Mechemes Goy Gumagog, what's going to happen to the Rishoyim. It is something that is so horrible. It is so miserable. Die re'ia. You can't even look at it. Dei ra'on means die, means enough. Ra'on means to look. When you just give a peek at what happened, you say to yourself, die. I can't deal with this. The horror is so enormous. That's how Rav Shimon Schwab. Many Gedolei Yisrael were not pleased. Well, it's not many, some with the word Shoah, because Shoah has a connotation. It means simply chaos. Chaos means random event. Things, particles just were floating in the air.
No footnote was like that.
Right, a footnote was very strong. And this, the word show is not the appropriate term because it just means random. I know the Torah. That's not the point. I just want to bring out a point from this week's parasha. We're not getting into politics. It does, to me, to us, it doesn't make a difference. We all know what it refers to. It's all the same. Shoah, Holocaust, Europe. whatever they were own.
So Rav Hook,
okay, whatever. I don't vary against. I don't even know the details. I just know that it was an article that he wrote. He does not hold the word Shoah. He felt that it takes away from the religious recognition that it was not an accident. It was not just it was the Yad Hashem Asa Zois.
Yeah, yeah.
Now the word Shoah appears in this week's parasha. This is what I'm telling you, is because it appears in regard to Shiduchim. What is the pasuk? Eliezer comes and he sees that the events are unfolding before him at rapid lightning speed. V'ho'ish mishto'elo. He can't believe this. He finishes davening, he comes to the well, a girl runs up, the water gushes up, the girl comes, oh, can I give you to drink? Can I give you camels to drink? Gosh, he takes the pitcher before he blinks. There she is! There she is! Eliezer was planning to be the diplomat, big negotiator, and here he sees his services are not needed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'ashem yotza adavar v'ho'ish mishto'elo. Now let's see how Rashi defines this word.
He was astonished.
He was in a state of astonishment.
Right.
A state of chaos.
He's speechless.
Shoah. He was in a state of chaos. State of chaos. I can't believe this. I didn't expect this to happen. How could I thought I'm going to come, I'm going to negotiate, I'm going to do an ashtadlus. It all happened without him getting involved. Let me find the word over here in the pasuk. Pasuk chaf aleph v'ho'ish mishto'elo macharish. He was son ladas. Can it really be ha'atzliach Hashem darkoi? In lo, maybe not. Rashi pasuk chaf aleph mishto'e. What does this word mean? Lashon shi'iyah. It means astonishment. Kimo sha'u arim. The cities have been obliterated. Tisha means shimama, desolation. Again, Rashi says mishto'e, mishto'imeim u'mishabel al sheroha devaroi korv l'hatzliach avol eni yodeh im mishpacha savram hi im lo. Then Rashi goes on to say, so the word over here is mishto'e. What is the tov doing there? It should be shin aleph hey.
Yeah.
Shoah. Right? It should be Shoah. Shin Aleph Hey. What is a tough doing in between the two letters of the root? The root is Shoah. The Hey is not a strong letter. That's more of a vowel.
All right.
That it should be a Kamat. So the key letters are Shin Aleph, Sha'u, right? Sha'u Arim. She'iyah. You see that the last letter is going to be interchanged. So the key words are Shin and Aleph. So how did the tough krich? What's the tough kriching where it doesn't belong? If over here Eliezer is in a state of bewilderment, my mind is in a state of chaos. I had a plan of action. I'm a diplomat. I know how to talk. I'm a smooth talker. I'm going to find the girl. She's not going to want. I'm going to convince her. I'm going to convince the parents. I'm going to negotiate. This is what I've been trained to do. I have a PhD in negotiations. In hostage situations. So all of this, my whole life work is down the drain. Because I'm in a state of chaos. They don't need me anymore. But why then is there a tough here in the middle? Mishtaymenu mispachel al shiro devara kov l'hatzliach. So Virashi says, V'yal tisma. Do not worry, wonder, betov shel mishtoe she'elish. The answer is, here's Rashi's powerful words. She'ein l'cha, know this information. She'ein l'cha teva, she'tchilas yisoy da shin, u'mistaberes b'loshoin mispoel, and it is written in the form of mispoel, which I'll explain to you in one moment what that means. One of the seven verbs, the seven binyonim, there are seven possible verbs, forms of verbs in Hebrew grammar. And this verb is a very unique form, which we'll explain in one moment. She'ein tov mafrida bein shtei osyo shel ikor hayesod. The tov, that's the way the rules of grammar work. The tov is thrust in between the two foundation letters of this word that is written b'loshoin mispoel. Now, what does the letter tov represent? The letter Tav, look in Tanakh, letter Tav, okay, I don't have all the details here, I was warning, I'm only giving you half-baked ideas. The letter Tav represents spirituality. It's the last letter of the Aleph base. There are two last letters of the Aleph base, letter Shin, and there's a letter Tav. If you study Chazal, you'll always see the letter Shin represents a ribui, an exaggeration, hyperbole of Gashmius. 300 keys. Korach had 300 keys to his treasure vaults. It's always Gashmius. 4 represents a very great ribui of the spiritual world. Sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. Let me give you 2 simple examples. Yaakov is about to meet Esav. Vayira Yaakov Ma'od. Why? He was afraid because he heard that Esav is coming. V'imoy arba meyos ish. What is the significance? Tough. 400 people were coming to greet Yaakov. The significance was there was not a physical war. This was a spiritual battle. Esav halacha biyadenu Esav soine Yaakov. Esav was jealous that Yaakov received the brachas. Esav was coming to Yaakov in a spiritual war. And the way the spiritual war is expressed in the Torah is with the number 400. 400 is the end of the Aleph Beis, and I'll show you other examples. It means a ribui in the world of Ruchnius. In this context, it means a ribui to counteract the spirituality of Yaakov against the koyach of Tumah of Esav. The real classic example, which really says it all, you don't have to even say more than this, is Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Yodoya teida ki ger yezarecha v'yeretz lo Elohem v'avodum v'inuy oisam arba me'os shana. They're going to suffer for 400 years. Yodoya teida, be well aware, this is what's going to be. Who is speaking to Avram Avinu? Hashem. Hashem is saying, this is for the Kor HaBarzel. This is necessary. Why? You'll never, ever, ever understand why. This is the way Hashem works. Yodoya teida. But it's going to be, the way Hashem tells it is going to be pain. It's going to be a refinement. The Kor HaBarzel was not a physical, was not a physical Chorban for Klal Yisrael. It was a spiritual refinement. It was Yisurim that refined Klal Yisrael in the spiritual world. That's the Davar Pashut Mo'od. That's what Yitzhak is trying, the Kor HaBarzel. It was all there to refine. It was a terrible, terrible tsar. But that's, and is expressed with the number 400. Shoah means chaos. When you look at Shoah from the outside, it's chaos. But when Shoah is written below Shoin Mispoel. Now Mispoel, if you want a good translation, believe it or not, go to Wikipedia. Wikipedia, they have a fantastic entry on Hebrew grammar. It's really unbelievable. And if you really, I always very struggle to understand the differences, the basic verbs we understand, but the real nuances of mispoel. Yes, the average person to explain to you what exactly is mispoel. Even people who know grammar, and they're going to struggle very hard to explain to you what exactly is the verb form of mispoel. What it means is you're involved. Many verbs, you're not involved. Things are happening. You're an observer. The word mispoel means there is chaos which you bring upon yourself, or it is chaos that you are a participant. You are a participant in the actual chaos. It's not right. It's not that you're an observer. I'm an observer from the outside, and Reuven is doing it to him, or he's doing it to me, or it's happening somewhere in the world. Mispoel means you. It is a verb. There is an action that is taking place, and you are experiencing it. You're not necessarily doing it. You're not doing it. But mispoel means action is happening, and you are experiencing that action. Okay, so it's a hard, really, really hard. I'm not skilled in this. Anything, but certainly on this, and this is something. It's something that is happening, and you're experiencing it. Shoah is chaos. Okay, I can read about it in history books. I can read about it, but when you relive it, and you experiencing it, Rashi says you should know that in the foundation of this word, Shoah of chaos. When it's now, you're experiencing it, the letter Tov must be there. Because the letter Tov represents the Ribbono Shel Olam is there. It's not just happening by itself. Yodoya Teda, Ki ger Hashem telling Avraham Avinu, I'm telling you, this is what is going to, has to happen. The Ribbono Shel Olam is speaking, and he's saying, Yodoa, it should be clear to you. No, I'm the one that's bringing this upon you. Ki ger yihye zaracha bi'eretz lo yelachem v'avodim v'inu yoysam. Arba me'oshana. Tov. I was Esav. He came. It was a spiritual Muhammad. I don't have all the good examples. There are many examples. You have to study this a bit more. But I just want to bring out this point. The word Shoah is a word that is used throughout the world. It is the most common word to use to describe the Holocaust. When you look at it from the outside, it's chaos. But when we live it, when you enter within and experience it, understand it from the inside, the foundation, Rashi says, the words, look at these powerful words of Rashi, she'ein hatov mafrida umidaberet loshem spell, she'ein tov, this does not exist, she'ein l'chateva, she'tchilas yisoy deshin, umidaberet loshem mispoel, when you're experiencing it, the action is happening where you are involved, she'ein tov mafrida, the tov, which means Hashem's involvement. Yedoya teda kiger yezarecha mafrida bein shtei osyo shel ikor hayesod. The foundation of chaos is not chaos. The foundation between the two foundation letters of the word is tov. Tov means yedoya teda. The Ribbono Shel Olam is here. He is involved. Why is he doing this to us? Why are we suffering? Why do we have such tragedy? We don't know the answer. But to say that Hashem is not here, that's apikursis. Hashem is there. And it cannot be otherwise. So you have Shoah and you have Mishto'eh. It's true. Shoah by itself means chaos. But when you look at the Holocaust, it's not as Shoah, but Mishto'eh. Then it takes on a whole religious perspective, a whole different view of what, of a desire to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to understand. We can't understand, but at least we know that Imoy Anoichi Bitzar.
Don't we normally say that 8 is the first number that's Ruchniistic, rather, and now you're saying 4?
No, 8 is the different types of numbers. Tov, I quoted you this pasuk of Yedoya Teda. You see there that Golos, when Hashem is bringing the galus, Hashem used the number tov. Yedoya teida, and that's the makar of all tzaris. Va'avodum, the inui oisam. Every inui that we have in this world is rooted in va'avodum, the inui oisam. And that was revealed. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, "I'm doing this. I'm not. It's not chaos. I'm bringing this. I'm involved." And there's where the number tov is present. And there, by extension, there are other examples. I told you Esav, when he came against Yaakov, he became 400 men. It was the same idea. I'm not just coming just to conquer, to destroy you. I'm coming from a spiritual point of view. I'm coming with the Tov of the Hashem said, Yodaya Teda. There are other examples I don't have in front of me, but you have to look up, you have to study this idea. And that's what I'm trying to suggest, is that there's a difference when you look at the Holocaust between Shoah and Mishto'eh. When the Tov enters into the center, and that means you put yourself, you live it, you experience it, and you put yourself in a different perspective, then it takes an entirely different meaning. Okay, one last vart about Shidduchim. Let's go back to Shidduchim for a few moments. A last vart. Why is the Shidduch of Rivka and Eliezer so significant? And Yitzchak so significant. Why do we, since Shlomo Shlom, focusing on this Shidduch more than the other Shidduchim? Yaakov had two wives. Yaakov, Rachel, and Leah. Four wives, Bilhah and Zilpah, correct. So why do we focus, when we talk about Shidduchim, we tend to dwell much, much more on Yitzchak and Rivka than to dwell on Yaakov, Rachel, and Leah, even though there's much, much to learn. And also, there's much to learn from Avram as well. Look at the 3D marriages. Avram, when he got married as part of a group. His marriage is only taught us in the Torah in contrast to someone else's marriage. That itself is very significant. That's the way we describe his marriage, in relative to someone else. Yaakov and Rachel. Yaakov, he loved Rachel. Yaakov, but Lavan, you know, he had the problem with Lavan, didn't want to give Rachel, and he switched, Leah, v'chulu, v'chulu. But there's something that's very unique about Yitzchak and Rivka. And what's unique is, what? Why was no shver and shvei? Because she went to her mother, and Basul met the shver. He died, but he still met him. Damage was done. The damage was done. You met the shver once. That's it. That's it. Your whole life you're haunted. Your whole life you're haunted by the shver, no matter what. Okay. In any event, so there's one interesting thing, a point that is expressed in very great detail, would very emphasize very, very much, that you don't find anywhere else, and that is, did she want the shidduch? Did she want the shidduch? Is it important that the girl should want the shidduch? What happened to Eliezer at the very beginning? Eliezer, he says to Avraham, I'm going to find you a shidduch, and he says, what's going to happen if the girl doesn't want? Since when does she have a choice? What's going to happen if, look, Avraham Zaken, Hashem makes him like a shvu of Vayomei Elov Avraham, Vayomei Elov Eved, Ulai. She's only 3 years old. She's the parents. He's going to talk to the parents. Talk to the parents. If the parents want the shidduch, she doesn't have a choice. What kind of choice we're giving her? 3-year-old girl? It's all depend on what Basul wants. No. Eliezer right away says, no, this shidduch, Eliezer is the shatran. And Avraham is giving over the reins to Eliezer. He's allowing Eliezer to make decisions. Okay, he's a very big project manager here in this project. He's making big decisions. And the first decision he's telling Avraham is, this is not going to be a chasidish shidduch. This is not going to be decided by the parents. If I'm in charge of this shidduch, I want it to be done like the Litvaks. The girl has to want. The girl has to want. And if the girl doesn't want, I don't care what the parents say. We're not going to force her into the marriage. And what's going to happen then? And the word soiveh is a very powerful word. Soiveh means to'ev. To'ev means to really want. The chalash. You really, really, really want. The girl has to be dying to marry Yitzchak. So what's going to happen? So then Avraham says, listen, if the girl doesn't want, but you may love Avraham, don't go in order to make the girl want to bring Yitzchak there. If not, we'll find in Bim Lois Soiveho Isha. Indeed, if the girl is masking. Avraham Avinu was masking. Vim Lois Soiveho Isha Lecha Sacharecha. Okay? If she doesn't want, mask him. He's masking him to this. Then Vinikisa Mishwasi Zos, you're exempt from the Shua, you can go take from him somewhere else. What happened at the very end? At the very end, it's exactly what happened. He said, no, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. It's time to go. All of a sudden, Lavan said, not so fast. Let's ask her if she wants. All of a sudden, Lavan is asking if her sister wants. What's going on over here? It's not their decision. They're the ones who are going to get all the money, all the gifts, the prestige. No, they say to him, they say, V'atem hine rivka lefonech lefan the pasuk v'eshal oisa. Okay. And she says, Eilech. And what does Rashi say? I'm going even if you don't want. I want so much. Even if you, my parents, or still wasn't alive, even if you, my family, say no, I don't care what you say. I want this shidduch so much, even against your will. Isn't that amazing? From beginning to end, it's all about we're putting the decision in the hands of the kala, if she wants. By Yaakov, when he married Rachel Leah, it doesn't seem that any decision. Tov, Lavan said, Tov, titi, oisach, loch, mititi, oisach, leishacher. Better I give her to you than give her to someone else. And then in fact he gave what he wanted. He took away, he gave what he wanted. It was all the decision of Lavan. The girl had no decision whatsoever. Yeah. Avraham doesn't say that Sarah liked Avraham. It says, Vayikach Avraham v'nocha lohem nashim. Avraham wanted, doesn't say that she wanted. Nowhere does it say that Sarah was was agreed, was happy with the shidduch. It doesn't say she got married. She got married. There's something very unique about Yitzchak Rivka is to want. Is that Rivka wanted? And I think this also explains the famous question. We'll finish up with this. Is everyone knows Eli Ulai? Rashi says Eliezer had a daughter.
Yes.
And Eliezer, he wanted. That's why he says this first time it says Ulai with a Vav, Alevav Lamayu. The second time it says Ulai without a Vav. And Rashi there says, Eli. Don't read it, Ulai, Eli. Eliezer said to Avram, why don't you take my daughter for your son Rivka? So what did Avram say to Eliezer? You're a cursed person. Ata Orur, Lani Barich. The Ein Orur Mitzdabeg Biburach. Is that the way Avram talks to a person? Avram, how does he talk?
Possible.
So let's explain the answer. There's a famous. Why is this Eli at the end when it was too late? Eli should have been written in the very, very beginning. It's a famous question.
Right.
So the answer. Well, why is it? So the what is the answer? That he only realized how much he wanted when it was too late. Bashas Maisa, when she was still available, he didn't realize how much he really wanted. He only first came to realize how much he wanted when the shidduch was over, and he repeated the story the second time, and now it was too late, and now he said, Eli, meaning, oh, I had a daughter, so why didn't you take my daughter? Now let's use this to explain and put everything together. Avraham says to Eliezer, Ata Orur Vani Baruch, the Ein Orur Mistabek Baruch. Shouldn't it be the opposite? Ani Ata Orur Vani Baruch, the Ein Baruch Mistabek Orur. Why does it say the Orur does not join?
Right.
In other words, who doesn't want the Shidduch? I'm blessed, and you're cursed. So who doesn't want the Shidduch? So you would think that the blessed one does not want to associate with the cursed. But the cursed is very happy to join the bracha. That's not what it says in Rashi. The Ein Orur Mistabek Bibaruch. The cursed one doesn't want the bracha. What was Avram saying is, you don't want the Shidduch. Eliezer suggests, they have the resumes, right? All the girls. So he put his daughter's resume on the top. So Avram looks at the resume and Avram says, it's a great shidduch and I would do the shidduch. I would really take your daughter, I really would, because who better than you? Koicha Tzvila, who better than you? But you know why I don't want the shidduch? That's the whole story of Yitzchak and Rivka. That soiveh, vayomer eilech, you don't want. You don't want. You don't want me. That's why you're cursed. Aram, now he's not saying, Rashi says, Pshut Shal Mikra comes Canaan. He comes from Canaan. But later he was blessed. Boy, Baruch Hashem. The deeper meaning is, he's not coming to insult him. He's saying, that's your problem. There's a curse. The curse is that you don't want. I'm only going to do a shidduch with Yitzhak for whatever reason. It's a very interesting idea. It's only if the girl really wants. Ani Baruch, the Ata Arur. The Ein Orur Mistabek Bibaruch, you don't want the Shidduch. And the fact that you don't want, that reveals there's something wrong with you. That element in you that doesn't want the Shidduch, that's the curse. Not that you're a cursed person. You're a great person. But there's a problem. How do you know that he didn't want the Shidduch? Because the word Eli only appears at the end. After it was too late. The first time when the story is read, it says Ulai. Ulai the girl will not want. Rivka, Yitzhak was still available. Then after he met Rivka and it was too late, all of a sudden he changes the word from Ulai to Eli. Eli, come to me, I want the Shidduch. Why didn't you wake up in the beginning? Why, when Yitzhak was still available, didn't you say the word Eli? That's the problem. Yeah. The problem was, even though maybe you did say Eli, but I can tell deep down in you, you don't really want. If you don't really want, it means you don't appreciate Yitzchak for who he is. I will not take a shidduch for my son, a girl who does not appreciate who the person is. This is the yesod that Chazal dwell upon and which the world dwells upon. Why do they dwell upon Yitzchak more than dwelling upon Avraham and Yaakov and his wives, Avraham and Yaakov? It's because in the sugya of Yitzchak you learn about the concept to appreciate who the person is. Now sometimes it's the parents, and we don't live in a world where everyone has a different system of how you do shidduchim, but everyone is on the same page, is that there should be an appreciation for who you're getting. If you don't appreciate the person who you're getting, then it's a recipe for disaster. In the parasha of Yitzchak and Rivka, it's clear as day is that Rivka appreciated who her chassan was. She wanted. Wanting means I appreciate who I'm getting. If you go into a shidduch and you don't appreciate who you're getting, then, like I said, it's a recipe for disaster. That's the critical yesod of this parasha from beginning to end, of Avraham. Eliezer is telling Avraham, Ulai Eli, and Eliezer himself is the one, he's the one telling Avraham, maybe she will, maybe the girl's not going to want to come. Avraham is saying, you're telling me about the girl who's not going to want to come, you're the one who doesn't want. Look who's talking. You're telling me to negotiate what's going to happen if the girl doesn't want. Oh, all of a sudden you're the big talker to tell me about the girl who doesn't want. I would want to take your daughter, Eliezer. But you don't want. You don't want. Look into yourself. And therefore, the end of the story is, Eilech, I will go. This is the Ikar Yisoid of Shidduchim, to appreciate who your spouse is. And with that, we will conclude.
I'm coming up now.